We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there, happy Friday, it's 11 a.m. and it's time for another episode of CHGO Bears presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. What's going on? I'm your host today, Will DeWitt. To wrap up this week, joined with me is Nicholas Moriano. Nick, how you doing? I know you have softball coming up next week. I know you've been practicing, you've been tweeting about it, but I'm excited to kind of wrap up this week with a recap episode of pretty much this entire offseason because, man, it's been busy.
It has been busy, but like you mentioned, softball Monday night, looking to go 2-0. And on these Friday shows, Will, it's nice. Like, I got an oil change this morning, but I'm disappointed in myself, Will, because I don't know if you've seen on social media, even our guy Cody from the CHGO Cubs podcast said he got his check for, like, the Facebook lawsuit, the settlement that's been going out. There's been, like, $350 checks or whatever it is. And I looked back to see if I got that email. And I just looked up Facebook, and there it was. And I'm like, oh, man, 2020's hindsight, right? 2020. And look back, I know I didn't fill that thing out because, one, I probably thought it was spam or some kind of scam. And then there was a follow-up email, like, maybe 5 days later. I'm like, damn it. Like, it could have been a new pair of shoes, a car, whatever it may have been. I'm like, well, next time I'll maybe look into those emails that are a little fishy looking, but glad everyone that did it is getting their money.
Yeah, I think that's an Illinois thing, so don't worry. We're in the same boat, man.
Oh, that's right. It is just an Illinois thing. So
yeah. So you and me here, I have the hat on. I'm wearing a shirt. It's a Chicago Audible day. I just feel like we're close, like we're missing something. Like, you're not wearing the attire. And, man, like, sometimes I just miss Mason in shows like this.
Yeah, it brings back the good old days, and we'll definitely get Mason on the show. Actually, I'm going to reach out to him. I'll reach out to him soon because You're going to be gone and Adam's going to be gone. And then, I'm going to have to be figuring out who's going to be on the CHGO Bears podcast. So it'll be an interesting lineup of guests. I'm already reaching out to some people, but should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I summon him really hard, he can just like magically pop up. That would be cool. Like, boom, yeah. There's Mason.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, that is crazy. Adam surprised me with something on Monday, and now we have Mason. Let's go.
Let's do it, guys.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Not too bad. Glad I was able to magically pop in. I don't know what you were thinking, Will, what magic words were there, but, it worked.
I'm so surprised.
Summon
right
Mr. West here, and, I can't wait. So we've done this episode for a few different years now, recapping the top 10. And Mason, I know you were part of it last year, and it was a lot of fun. And, Adam had a some different plans, I hopped into the hosting chair, and I figured, why not get the old band back together and surprise Nick along the way? And I love that reaction.
Look, I honestly just had no idea that it was going to be, you know, you and I, Will, and then you're like, magic words. Where's Will going with this? Boom, there goes Mason.
Ha-ha. All right. So we have a lot to get to and not a lot of time here today. So I would love to catch up with Mason a little bit more intimately. But as he's tapping his watch, like, yeah, we have 30 technically moves to discuss because we each have our individual top 10 rankings here today. And I just want to remind folks that are listening, like, we're purely ranking the moves that the Bears did end up making since the season ended in January. We're not getting into the woulda, coulda, shouldas. We're ranking of the moves that actually occurred. And we're going to do a countdown, top 10 style. So I'll go ahead and begin with my number 10 move here today, just kind of kick off the show. And that's going to be the hiring of Luke Getsy, the new architect of that Bears offense. Again, he led the league in passing the last 2 years in Green Bay as their passing game coordinator. He knows what he's doing. And I remember the article that we were talking about a couple months ago about Devontae Adams saying like how instrumental Getsy was to his development. So he's here to develop Justin as well as some of these Bears wide receivers. And he's mentioned to the media a few different times, which gets me excited. Like, he's here to build an offense around the skills set that he has to work with. He's not going to just run his offense. He's going to be flexible. He's going to be adaptable and put this Bears offense and Justin Fields in a position to succeed, which was not the case a year ago. So this is a top move this offseason. I think there are a few, well, nine others that rank ahead of it. But so for me, number 10 is going to be the hiring of Luke Getsy. Nick, what is your 10th best move of the 2022 offseason for the Chicago Bears?
This is going to be a shock for everybody, I bet. But I have the Bears firing Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as a 10th best move. And I say this because I made this list with focusing on the current state of the Bears after these firings. So that's where my premise is as I'm kind of making this list. What do they do after this? Because it no doubt is an important move for what the organization had to do moving forward. But, and obviously my list can't happen without these two guys being gone. But it was inevitable, right? At the end of the season 2021, we knew kind of like their I guess, longevity with the Bears was going to be over. So I have that as 10th. And then everything happening afterwards, I ranked on a higher priority because it ranks, it affects the Bears right now after these guys are gone.
I saw Kyle in the chat. Only 10, probably closer to number 5. Yeah, honestly, you may be right. I told Nick, usually when I make these lists, I'll make it, I'll change it, I'll change it, I'll change it. I made it once and I stuck with it, and I'm going to stick with it. But you're right. Like, I did think about moving Luke Getsy up quite a few times throughout this morning, but our producer Joey, I didn't want to do that to him at the last second. Mason, I'm really excited to get to yours here. What's your number 10 best move of the offseason so far?
Hey, look at that. I even have a little head. Not a cartoon, but I got one. All right. So for me, number 10, the drafting of Jaquan Brisker. You know, I think I was like a lot of Bears Nation when that pick first came out. You know, my jaw dropped a little bit, and I was like, really? We're going to go with two defensive backs in this draft? But once, you know, I woke up the next morning, marinated on it, and thought, man, the secondary was bad. Like, there were games you just straight up lost because of that secondary. And there are other ways you can help Justin Fields besides simply adding weapons, right? So if he's not having to get in shootouts, if you have can create turnovers in short fields, and if you can have, let's be honest, a dog in that secondary that can come up, make tackles, make some of those plays, that's going to help the defense a ton. And we saw Eddie Jackson actually operate the best when he had someone like that in Adrian Amos. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pine over Adrian Amos, but that strong safety position has been one that's just been plug and play for a little while, right? I mean, there hasn't been a stalwart there in a good bit since we had Adrian Amos. So there is a good chance that Jaquan Brisker can really make some changes, not just with what he can do, but affecting other people around him as well.
I like that one a lot, Mason. And before I get to my number 9, I just want to know, like, how did it feel to, like, talk some Bears for a second there? It's been a while.
Honestly, I think my patients are getting sick of it because I don't have that outlet anymore to just talk Bears. Like, I got some fantasy football leagues going on that's kind of hitting it, but oh, man, it felt good. It felt real good.
Yeah, I just saw it in your eyes. Like, you're like, yes, finally, been waiting. I know we've been texting for a few weeks trying to find, you know, a way to make it work, and I'm glad today worked out the way that it has. But getting into my number 9, it may sound familiar, but I have the Bears drafting Jaquan Brisker with my 9th best move of the offseason here. And Mason, you hit on a lot of the good points that I had here to kind of bring up. the fact that he is an Adrian Amos type of player. I talked about it on this podcast previously, how big of a mistake it's really been. The Bears have been kind of, I guess, being cheap at the position, going with those one-year, almost veteran minimum deals with a Tashaun Gibson, a Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and it just wasn't helping Eddie Jackson to the same degree that Amos was. So Poles getting a big physical safety with those plus ball skills in the second round, who is a day one starter, you know, the second one he was able to draft in that round. Like, kudos to the rookie GM for sticking to his gun, sticking to his board, and finding someone that can immediately contribute and I think benefit this Bears team, this Bears defense in multiple ways. So, like you, Mason, I thought it was a very important move that was made, and we have nearly identical rankings there as well. But, Nick, over to you, number nine.
Time to throw it off a little bit, you guys. I have number nine as the Bears signing Byron Pringle here. The Bears obviously need some wide receivers, some weapons for Justin Fields, and Ryan Poles has that connection with him at Kansas City, but it's someone that the Bears believe fits the offense that's going to be run under Luke Getsy. Does have that versatility running on the outside and also being lined up in the slot. And to complement Darnell Mooney with his, you know, speed, Byron Pringle is pretty fast himself, running that 4.4, so I think this is a move that the Bears, they need to sign somebody, right? Need to get some other weapons for Justin Fields to complement him in year two in this new offense. So are the Bears going with the signing of Byron Pringle's the ninth most important move?
All right. I like it. Free agency signing already on the list. Good stuff. Mason, how about you? Number nine?
Nick, I think you and I are galaxy branding right now because I have the same thing, the signing of Byron Pringle as my number nine move. Part of it is simply because there weren't a lot of offensive moves. there really weren't. You know, I'm not going to poo-poo Ryan Poles or anything like that for doing that. I mean, you saw there were holes all over this team. And at the end of the day, you got to be smart with your money and allocation, and your assets just weren't great. We've heard this story before all offseason so far. So this one is going to be an important one. At the end of the day, right, is Byron Pringle a guy that maybe was limited with the fact that he was behind, you know, a Tyreek Hill and a Travis Kelce as the top two options, and he just needs a place to grow and needs a place to be able to operate? He's someone that could and should operate pretty well with the Justin Fields. Now, Justin's not exactly a quick game guy, and a lot of Pringle's routes were a little on the short end, but to have someone that could potentially be an outlet there works. And he did have a good amount of routes too that went downfield. He had some of those across the middle deep. He had some of those, you know, kind of skinny posts going on. So he still will fit with Justin Fields. Now, isn't necessarily the biggest move we wanted to have there? No, but at the same time, this is a long process. And so he's just a piece of that.
He is. I like that you guys had him there at number nine. And Nick, you already saw the comment from Shiv about, you know, you don't need to do math today. That's a good day for you. We found out yesterday, or I think I was reminded yesterday of, like, just how difficult math gets for Mr. Moriano.
Well, it doesn't help when I'm not paying attention, too. Like, Adam said, hey, pay attention to what you're doing. And, of course, like, when he says that, I don't pay attention. And then I had to do the math to make sure I was right. So it was five. I think I tweeted that out. So, yeah. And I just got to count down. I can get down to one.
I think you got this. Kindergarten skills are here today on the CHGO Bears podcast. I'm moving to number eight. Yet again, sounds a little familiar, and that is the signing of Byron Pringle. Yeah, you guys, and I like that we're all kind of identical here in terms of like where these are happening for the most part. As you guys mentioned, he's someone that can be a deep threat, a ball player with the football in his hands, and I think he's underrated. And I know a lot of fans will say, well, like he's not going to have a Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to open things up for him. Like, I get it, but also, like, when he had his opportunities last year, he made the most of them. And I think defenses will still have to respect Darnell Mooney. They're going to have to respect some other players on the field as well. So he's going to be able to and the scheme should help him get open, whether it's some of those shallow routes. He's good in the screen game. I think that's another element that's been missing for the Bears for quite some time. And I just love his style of play. He plays with a big chip on his shoulder. He fights with the football in his hands. He can run guys over a little bit for his size. I think that's pretty remarkable. And he's kind of crafty, too, with how he's able to kind of make some moves and make defenders miss. He went from seasons of only 12 and 13 catches to jumped up to 42 last season. And five of his seven career touchdowns came last year, too. He's coming into his own. Ryan Poles knows him better than anyone coming in here. And Luke Getsy, as I mentioned, was a big reason why Davante Adams became Davante Adams. Now, I'm not saying Byron Pringle will be a Davante Adams, but he could continue his, I guess, development, his progression, and become is still a better receiver in this league. So I think there's still some upside to tap into with Pringle, and that's why it's my eighth best move of the offseason.
All righty. Well, I'll kick this off with my eighth best, and I have the Bears signing Justin Jones. We know how important this three-tech position is in Matt Eberflus' defense, now Alan Williams' defense, and although he isn't Larry Ogunjobi, he is the guy that is going to play this all-important role. And at just 25 years old, the Bears did sign him to a two-year, $12 million contract. So they do have faith in a guy like Justin Jones if he can stay healthy. I don't know if he's, the obviously he's not the absolute guy they wanted there, but now he needs to be because of what the circumstance that the Bears are in. But look, when the three-tech has been nailed into our heads as much as it has been this offseason from all the defensive coordinators, the defensive staff from the Bears, I had to prioritize the signing of the one guy that is going to play this position in Justin Jones. So he is number eight for me.
Okay, so you have Justin Jones, and we've all been very clear that it's been a backup plan, you know, option B for the Bears at the position. I want to throw a hypothetical out. Like, if it was Larry Ogunjobi, and that worked out, like, is that top three?
Not on my list, but it's right outside of it. It's definitely top five for sure.
I mean, it's got to be up there just because of the fact, I mean, that would have been the first move, big money. I mean, it would have been a stamp more so on Ryan Poles, like, this is where we're going and this is what I'm doing, more so than even necessarily the impact of the player himself. But we've also heard so much about how important that position is, though. I mean, this is one of the most, if not the most important position on this Eberflus-esque Tampa Lovey, et cetera, defense. So I would agree it's probably a top five.
Yeah, it's one of those when I was thinking about those woulda, coulda, shouldas that we're not really talking about in today's show. I'm like, damn, like that would have been an awesome one to throw on this list if it panned out. And if it happens later at a lower price, just saying, like, it can still make its mark on this top 10 ranking. We can redo the whole show, I guess, if that ever comes to be. But Nick, when did you change your hat?
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you didn't know. Well, it was when Mason was, I think, the number nine move, and it was just a full screen. And I learned from the last time I outed, I think, was it Adam or somebody? I'm like, oh, look, Adam's going off screen. I didn't say anything. I just went off, changed the hat. Now it's Throwback Flashback Friday for the Chicago Audible.
It's like some of those videos that they'll show you and like people change their clothes and, you know, you have no idea. Like, pay attention to like the rabbit and then like everyone changing their outfit, right? You don't even know. Like, the brain is remarkable that way, and I didn't even notice the hat until a couple of seconds ago. But anywho, number seven, getting back to our countdown, I have the Bears signing Lucas Patrick as my seventh.
Whoa, I don't get to give my number.
We gotta get Mason's in here.
Oh, we're not going to give my eight? Jeez, no, I know he's popping in here.
No one heard that. I did not give it away yet. Mason, gosh, Nick's hat threw me all off, guys. Number eight.
At number eight, the first subtraction from my list was not signing James Daniels. So you can look at this a couple different ways. James Daniels, second-round draft pick, did he live up to that expectation? At times, yes. At times, no. When I look back on James Daniels' career, I think of two main things, or three. One, he had to switch positions a lot and apparently couldn't communicate well enough to do the center position. Two, that block in the Vegas game, so that's a positive there. And then three, some of the injuries also that slowed down his potential progression there. When you look at, he didn't get a giant contract this last offseason, so it's not like he was really sought after super, super, super heavy. But the thing is, it still create a hole, right? Even sitting here right now, who is the right guard? And we don't know that answer. Is it going to be one of these lower end, you know, round five, six, seven linemen that were picked? Is it going to be Dozier, who was, I believe, last in the Vikings, and he's not all that great? Or is it going to be someone who's not even on the team? So when you create a hole like that and still don't necessarily have an answer, now there's a lot of time, right? You ended up signing Jason Peters off a fishing boat in, what, July? So it's not like you still can't make moves here. But it's still a question mark, and you have to answer that.
Yeah, no, really good point. I'm glad we were able to get to your number eight overall pick move here, Mason. That would have been a huge miss if you just would have let me steamroll through it. So, you know, thank you guys both for making sure that didn't happen. But, Nick, how does it feel, real quick? How does it feel that James Daniels being gone made Mason's list? Because I know, like, those Iowa ties run deep.
They do run deep, and the Bears haven't replaced, you know, the void of the Iowa Hawkeye being on this roster yet. So kind of stinks.
We'll find out if it makes your top 10. I just have very strong reservations, and I don't believe it ever did. So getting to number 7, no one knew this was coming, but I have the Bears signing Lucas Patrick as my 7th best move of the offseason. You know, he's a decent player. I believe that when you look at his time in Green Bay, he was good. But I wouldn't call him a great player by any stretch of the, you know, imagination just yet. But he's still a huge upgrade at center for the Bears, which I guess is a testament of the situation that was at hand last year with Sam Mustipher, you know, holding down the position. What I like most, though, about Lucas Patrick is his leadership. I think that is the most important element that he's bringing to this Bears offensive line. He's a great leader up front, and I think that's something that's been missing over the past couple of years. Cody White here, I don't think, is a natural leader, just based off of, you know, how he's approached and I guess how I've seen kind of things play out over the past couple of years. And I guess when you look at last season, like, who would have been the leader? And if that's Jason Peters, who you just brought in, you know, really off, like, as Mason said, off the boat. Like, I mean, I know he's a Hall of Fame guy, but he's not here for the long haul. He doesn't have that much he's buying into. He's just here for, you know, a paycheck, another year at it to help the Bears protect the quarterback on the left side. But I think Lucas Patrick embodies what it means to be a Chicago Bear. He's going to have this whole offensive line looking up to him, and he's going to help set the tone that the Bears need. And Ryan Poles, I think, identified that early, trusted Luke Getsy's assessment of it, and that's why he's here, and that's why I have some high expectations for Patrick and his offense, both in terms of upgrading this Bears line in terms of an athletic ability, but also the X's and O's, and as I mentioned, the leadership. So that's why he's my number 7th best move of the offseason for the Bears. Nick, how about you?
All right, number 7, I have the Bears drafting Kyler Gordon as the 7th best offseason move. It's Ryan Poles' first pick, you guys, and he went with his board, his best player available, and just drafted a day one starter opposite of Jalen Johnson. So anytime you can do that with your first pick, when it's not a first-round pick, you will definitely take that, and he's hopefully a building block in this regime, this coaching staff, this new era of Bears moving forward, and someone that can create those turnovers that the Bears are looking for that they didn't create at a high enough level the last two seasons. So drafting Kyler Gordon, and he's already showing some good things in rookie minicamp and OTAs thus far. So having him there, knowing that he's going to be a piece for you, if, again, everything pans out, that is a nice, it's a nice piece to have, especially when you have Jalen Johnson on the opposite side. And real quickly, just want to give a shout out to Chase over here, who loves the show. Chase, appreciate you for watching us on CHGO Bears, and if you watch on the Audible, we love having you guys.
Without a question, good spot there in the chat, Nick. Mason, I'm not going to forget about you this time. What's number 7?
I get to talk this time?
You do. Awesome. You have permission.
Thank you. So, similar galaxy brain moment here, Will. I also had signing of Lucas Patrick, actually, as my number 7 move of the offseason for pretty much all the reasons you just said. Center is one of the most important, if not the most important position on the O-line, obviously. Communication. And when you are bringing in a new offensive coordinator, why not have someone that dealt with that offensive coordinator on a daily basis, right? You know, and we've seen that there's a lot of connections that are being made this offseason with some of the moves. For example, one I know that didn't make my top 10 was the signing of a, you know, St. Brown, but he's going to know that offense in theory a little bit better than a Pringle's going to, or even if you know, obviously a Bayless Jones or any of these guys. So having that familiarity is going to be really helpful at a position where communication and leadership is so key. And you've already seen it paying these mini dividends, right? You hear these stories coming out about how well he's speaking, about how he's screaming at the end of a mini camp play, things like that. And that's just the stuff that guys are going to attach to. Now, you know, it's not like he was exactly a top end free agent signing or anything like that, but he could pan out to be a very solid signing. And that's what you need when you're going through this rebuild, retool, however you want to put it.
How do you want to put it? Well, how do you look at it?
I look at it, I do see it as a rebuild. And I think the retool thing is you're slapping a coat of paint on it and going from there. You're not doing that with this, right? It's a little bit more if we're going with the Poles analogy of all his House Hunter and remake shows he's watching there. You're doing a little bit more stuff, right? You're with the foundational aspect of it. And he said this, we've said this, hopefully people are realizing it's a multi-year thing, right? It's not just to flip it around, because that's how you get in trouble financially and with your assets, and you don't need that.
All right, good stuff there. We're almost into the top five, but before we do, I just want to let you know that the best way that you can support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. And if you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a more than $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and our team will help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better. Introducing PointsBet's new feature, Live NBA Same Game Parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA Same Game Parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and if you want more, you can also boost your live Same Game Parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And now, sign up is available online in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, Chicago sports fans, if you aren't a member of our CHGO family, what are you waiting for at this point? Members will have access to all of our premium content from all of our great writers. You also get a free t-shirt of your choice when you become a member. Be a good time to go get the CHGO Bears shirt or any of the cool shirts that we have on allchgo.com. And you also get access to the members-only Discord, the CHGO Lounge. And, of course, we have podcasts and live shows on every team every day. And you never know who's going to pop up magically on a show from time to time, like Mason is here. So come join this amazing family that is constantly growing here at CHGO.
All right, you're listening to the CHGO Bears podcast. It's Friday, May 20th. We are rolling through this offseason, and it's happened so fast, and that's why we're recapping the top 10 moves that we've seen. I'm going to say so far, because polls always says, like, the work is not over. And I'm at number six, and that, for me, is the entire third day of the NFL draft, and that is trading back, because Ryan Poles worked some of that magic, kind of like I did earlier to bring Mason on, to turn three picks into eight. Woo! He gave the Bears that youth infusion that it was just so needed. Multiple offensive linemen to develop, right? Braxton Jones, high upside. Zachary Thomas, potential player who can slide into guard and start right away. Doug Kramer, a center to develop under Lucas Patrick. You got a starting punter in Trenton Gill, a potential diamond in the rough in Dominic Robinson, a running back with huge receiving upside in Tristan Ebner, and Elijah Hicks at safety can be a potential steal after dropping due to a foot injury in the East-West Shrine Game practice that made him apparently fall off the radars, even though he is a very talented player. So that entire third day to me is just such a win for the Bears. We talked about it really before Ryan Poles is hired. Like, the amount of draft capital for the Bears entering this offseason was not enough for what this Bears team needed. And after not having a first-round pick, after not trading back in the second round, we were all nervous. Like, okay, what is this strategy actually going to look like? He's not trading down. He's not getting additional picks. And then he found a way to do what he did. Again, three picks into eight on day three, and he got a lot of players that I think I like, and I'm buying into the upside. And with this coaching staff, I would expect a few of these to develop. And if we've talked about it, if he can hit on 50% of these picks, the Bears are going to be a much better team for it down the road. So the magic that Poles did on day three, to me, is worthy of being a top offseason move overall. So that's why it's number six for me. Nick, how about you? What's number six?
I like that one, Will. I have the Bears signing Lucas Patrick as my number six move. Signed a two-year, $8 million contract, so not the biggest money, and he wasn't the best player at that position, but this move, why it's so important to me, it has to deal with the quarterback, right? Providing stability at that center position, but more importantly, like I said, it helps Justin Fields making the calls at the line of scrimmage. But you mentioned earlier too, Will, I don't want to rehash too much of what you guys said about Lucas Patrick, but he helps this offensive line and all the other players around it. You have a better player playing the center position than Sam Mustipher, but what he talked about in his press conference at Ed House Hall a couple days ago is that when the younger players go up to him, he feels like he needs to have the right answers every single time. So it's competition within himself to be a better player, not only on the field, but off the field as well. So I really like what Lucas Patrick brings to this offense, and also having that that continuity with Luke Getsy, so you can help those guys also learn that system a little bit easier. So signing Lucas Patrick is my number six most important move.
I did see in the chat from Rob's firearm safety that I forgot Carter, the lineman out of Southern. So definitely want to make sure I mention him, which, by the way, just pull up his bio on Southern's website. And he's from White Castle, Louisiana.
Yes, he is.
Which is a fun town name, to say the least. But yeah, Lucas Patrick, again, very identical, 6 and 7, you know, kind of interchangeable there. But yeah, we all agree he's definitely a top move here for all the reasons we mentioned. Mason, over to you. What's the last move before we get into our top five?
So here I put the hiring of Luke Getsy. I think that that's going to be very important for multiple reasons. Already touched on a little bit here, but going even back to Lucas Patrick, when he talked, saying how, you know, he took Davante Adams, who struggled his first couple of years in the league, and when he was the wide receiver coach, and helped him to become Davante Adams. Then he'd be moved into the QB room and helped Aaron Rodgers. I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers was already a bad man, but, you know, helped him even more so, apparently, you know, own the Chicago Bears. So when you have someone that can make moves like that, who has a bit of the tree he has, that's going to be very important. One thing I did really like was when you actually, if you look, listen to a Hogan Johns, that when they interviewed Matt Bowen, one thing that Matt Bowen talked about was how it's not a bad thing to make it easy for your quarterback. But one thing that the Packers offense does is most of their offense is easy reads, right? It's easy, one, boom, boom, boom. And then you take your chances, you grow off it, you become multiple off of that. One of the problems is, at least with the last regime, everything was way too complicated. Why? It doesn't have to be rocket science, right? Get the ball into your playmaker's hands, move the chains, score touchdowns. And that's what Luke Getsy is going to do. Simple reads, get Justin comfortable. We've already heard reports about, you know, Justin on the move a lot, which we were clamoring for all year last year. And so if Luke Getsy and his scheme can do a lot, it's going to make up for a lot of the issues that, in theory, we're seeing, because no, there's not a lot of star power coming out of this wide receiver group. But do you really need that, or at least for now, do you need that if the scheme can help?
Yep, the scheme, and I believe, and I said it earlier too, it's two-parted. Scheme, but the ability to develop and lead. And that's something that was missing so much under the previous staff, previous regime, and I think the lack of stubbornness too. There's so much to like about bringing in Luke Getsy, a lot of upside. I know, Nick, we talked about it yesterday. It's some of those unknowns still, but the potential is there, and I'm still, it's only May 20th. I can look at it with a very optimistic lens. Let's get into officially our top five here. And with my, five, Nick, you know that number pretty well now, right?
I do.
All right. My fifth best move of the offseason is my first detraction, and that's actually trading away Khalil Mack. This was Ryan Poles' first, I'm going to call a big boy decision to set up the Bears for the future, to kind of expedite that. Mason said it's not a retool, so I'm going to say that expedite that rebuild. That second round pick that we received turned into Jaquan Brisker, who we've already seen on this list a couple of times here. So you got a starter out of the trade. I think that's really big for Poles to make the trade and receive a draft pick and immediately get someone who can be a day one starter. To me, that's huge. The Bears also got a lot of financial relief, right? $6 million gain this year in cap, $28 million next year, $23 million in year 2024. So he's allowing the Bears to be set up long-term, giving them the opportunity to whenever they see is those next, I guess, weak points, when it's this time next year, like, all right, well, we have all the money in the world. We can address it any way that we want. And I think he's still going to be smart with it. He's not going to spend all the money in the bank, but he has like over $50 million in dead cap right now that he pretty much inherited. And I'm sure he's not going to put himself in that same situation. He feels the restraint that he puts on his ability to make big decisions, bring in bigger players. So trading away Khalil Mack, as much as you lose some of that star power on the field immediately at a very important position, and you lose the face of the franchise, helping the Bears long-term was a non-sexy approach to this offseason. And hey, at least it got Nick and I, you know, some cheap Khalil Mack jerseys for, you know, Nick's girlfriend and my son. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and I can't get them. It's literally right there out of arm's reach. But yeah, it was like, what, $5 or whatever it was. Will, but actually number five is also trading away Khalil Mack for myself. So I don't even have to rehash a lot of what you said, Will, because he did a fantastic job with it. The only thing I'll add, too, is that it gives other guys like a Trevis Gibson opportunities to really showcase their abilities. Yes, the move hurt, as Brenda said in the chat here, like seeing a guy like that leave, it's going to hurt a Bears fan base. And I remember when we did that live show, that reaction show, Will, it was like weird. Khalil Mack's no longer on the Bears, a guy that meant so much when you initially got him, and especially what he did in the first game. But number five, for all the same reasons that you kind of pointed out to Will, is why he's a number five move on this most important offseason moves.
And it's really perspective, and I think it's seeing the big picture is why we can put this as high as mm-hmm. we both did. Because if you would have told us a couple of months ago before this happened, like, hey, one of your top best moves that you're going to do this year is trading away, like, arguably your best player. Like, okay. And we're like, oh, okay, sure. But it does. It makes a lot of sense here. Mason, are we galaxy braining over here or not so much?
Not so much, because for me, I had my fifth one as actually the hiring of Matt Eberflus. Right. So you could argue this might be a little low on the list because, I mean, it's your head coach. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think I'll explain later why some of the other moves are a little bit higher. But this is still important, right? It's still a top five move because mm-hmm. of the mentality, right? It's a shift from what has been happening recently. You had this, in theory, offensive mind with Matt Nagy. We're going to, you know, make Mitch the next coming of whoever you want him to be. But it just didn't happen. Didn't work out. And you went for a coach who actually, if you recall, was in my, when we did our little coaching search, he was one of my guys. You went with a guy who, it's more about the culture, right? The tone setter. And we hear that with all his acronyms, the M&Ms and, you know, Motor Mean and all that stuff, right? The principles that he's got going on. And that's something that, if we're looking back, we clamored for. We saw too many times on the defense, right, where a receiver was down and not touched. What's going on there? There's too many times where we're asking for an offensive lineman to finish a block that wasn't finished, a wide receiver to block for Justin Fields downfield. I think everyone knows who I'm talking about there. You got to finish the plays, right? And you got to have a certain mentality, and Matt Eberflus is bringing that in. Now, if you could do that and surround yourself with good people, and if you can develop these next couple of years, you don't worry as much about potential turnover, you know, your offensive coordinator leaving for head for other coaching positions, everything like that. Because you can look at teams like the Ravens, who have just always been good. And that's because they have such a solid piece there. And I truly think Matt Eberflus can be that. And getting back to what, you know, the principles are really when the Bears are the best recently. I mean, they had the best record against Green Bay during that Lovey era. I mean, near the end, that's ultimately what got him fired. But for a while there, it was real nice to be able to beat them consistently. And a lot of that is simply mentality and culture. The rest will take care of itself if you can fill it with the right minds around you and the right players.
Very well said. I know this spoiler, it's on my list here eventually, but you really, you know, you put it in a very good perspective there, Mason, and I really appreciate it. And he was one of your guys. You're not wrong. Like, he was on there, and he wasn't one of my guys because I was down here, you know, I get most of the Indianapolis news, and it wasn't great, and my buddies around here who watch the Colts are like, I don't know, but they don't, I guess you don't really know too much about your defensive coordinators, right? Like, you just see the results on the field, and, you know, they were good, but there are times where they just thought he was a little too passive, but he's not calling plays. So that's something that, you know, we don't have to worry about all too much. We'll see if Allen Williams has his own twist and his own aggressive mindset that I'm hopeful he will still end this defense, even when you have a lead in the fourth quarter. But let's get into our fourth, and then we'll get into our top three, which I'm really excited to get to. My fourth best move of the offseason for the Bears is drafting Kyler Gordon. Nick, you hit on a lot of good points. I'll keep mine brief, but your first pick, as general manager of the Chicago Bears, you get a starter at a huge position of need. You know, no more Kendallville open door playing outside corner for you, someone that the defenses can just pick on or offenses can pick on time and time again. And what you see of Gordon, both at college, as well as we're already seeing at practice, and Nick, you can attest to it more than I can, is that his athleticism is just off the charts. He stands out in that regard, you know, just so much. He has the ball skills that the Bears have been lacking at the position as well. That's a huge plus and something that really just ties everything that we've heard all offseason together about the importance of takeaways, the importance of, you know, being in this defense. And hey, there's Nick's caricature there as well. But I just really like Kyler Gordon and what he's going to be able to provide this defense overall. You know, the Bears could have went wide receiver or offensive line there. That was what everyone was pushing for with that pick. But Ryan Poles stayed true to his word, true to his board, and found himself a quality starter that can be a staple in this Bears defense for years. And I think sticking to his guns a bit was something that I respect, and that's why Gordon, not why he's fourth, but everything that Gordon brings to the table too is why he's my fourth best move of the offseason for the Bears. And we'll go over to Nick now. What's your fourth best?
I have as a fourth best move the Bears hiring Luke Getsy. Look, this all goes in coincides with Justin Fields and what he can do for him. And this offense getting the ball out quick, fixing up the footwork, the release even, making it a little bit quicker. Like, that's all for Justin Fields to make this jump in year two that everyone's really expecting of him to take. Matt Eberflus has said it. Justin Fields has said it. Ryan Poles has said it. Like, they expect to see that from Justin Fields. And Luke Getsy's offense is going to be a big part of if and when that happens for Fields as he enters year two in the NFL. So what he can bring in terms of the wide zone and what he can do for these running backs and just getting the playmakers that the Bears do have involved and puts them in just position to make plays, that's going to be huge. Because if Luke Getsy isn't the guy that Bears fans are hoping that he is, then this can be a very bad marriage, because then you're going to go into year three with a third offensive coordinator. Like, potentially if it goes sour the worst possible direction, that would just, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It's just not a good situation to be in. You need Luke Getsy to be a very important part of what this Bears offense needs and what he can bring to the overall team in terms of scoring and making the Bears competitive. So hiring Luke Getsy is the fourth most important move for me.
Can we just take a second and appreciate the fact that for the first time in a long time, the Bears are going to have an actual offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, we can appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, because even though the Bears had it in title, whether it be Mark Helfrich or, geez, who was it even last year? See, like, the fact... like
is, Bill Zimmer, or Bill Lazor. Bill, yeah, Zimmer.
Bill Zimmer. Hey, Bill Zimmer, yeah. Well, shout out on the show for good old Bill. But, yeah, see, the fact, like, I was drawing a blank because they didn't have much to do other than probably, if I had a guess, just be yes men to Coach Nagy. And that's been about it. Yes man and a potential scapegoat. But having an actual offensive coordinator to own the offense and allow the head coach to do other things, it's going to just be it's a breath of fresh air, to say the least, here in Chicago. So up next, we do have our top 3-2 breakdown. But before we get to that, Nick...
Before we get to that, we're going to send it to Mason for his fourth, and then I'll get to that.
Mason, I brought you on, and I forget you're even here. Gosh. I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is.
I mean, good news is, for the most part, I was just going to galaxy brain with you, Will. I don't even know if I want to anymore. I feel like I should change this, so I'm not giving you credit. But for number four, I had the drafting of Kyler Gordon, just like you did. It's, you know, first pick of the Ryan Poles regime. Inherently, it's important. It's also a very important position of need. You know, no offense to Kendall Vildor, but kind of offense to Kendall Vildor. Didn't show out like he was supposed to, constantly getting burned. Gave up a lot. It just wasn't very good. And we've already seen some great stuff. You know, obviously had an interception already. Just a great athlete, someone who's going to come in and really make some changes, some differences. And at the end of the day, too, you know, someone that you can really build around. And I mean, we saw Matt Eberflus talk about him. He is beyond excited about this guy. I do think it's kind of interesting that right before he talked about Jalen Johnson and basically was like, yeah, we got to be better, and then talked about Kyler Gordon and threw all of the praise possible. I mean, it could have just been more like, I mean, some truth, right? Yeah, the defense as a whole needs to be better, and Jalen Johnson's got some stuff to work on. He hasn't been there. That originally, right, in the beginning, that probably left a bad taste in his mouth. But Kyler Gordon's just exciting. I mean, you see the energy he has, again, the athleticism that he's got, the eye for the ball. He obviously, who wouldn't, but he keeps talking about Peanut Tillman and how he used a big part of his game after that. So Kyler Gordon, super important piece going forward.
Yeah, you should have changed it because I just let you down twice. Strike three, man. I don't know what's going to happen if I get a strike three here, but it's not going to be pretty.
No, it won't, but that's okay. Will, you're just really hyped up about points bet and what it does for CHGO. And because if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us to continue to grow is to download that PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, yes, I did. Basically, I think the ump said if I had, well, if the ball wasn't caught, because I did have one pop fly, I went 2 for 3, though, I would have been out because I threw the damn bat backwards. So I'm going to fix that. Monday, it's not going to happen.
So real quick, I just want to make sure for people listening, there was a comment from our main brand on here mentioning that you got 3 strikes from throwing the bat at softball. I'm excited. I get to participate in a softball event when I'm up in Chicago later in June, and I'll bring my 10-plus years of Little League and high school baseball experience to the table, and I'm excited to tap back into that. But let's talk about points bet, because they're very important, and they're an awesome, awesome place to, you know, do your sports betting.
Yeah, exactly, because if you get 2 risk-free bets if you use that code CHGO, and you get it up to $2,000. But if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
All right. I'm not going to fumble this exchange. We're jumping into the top three here. And my third best move, and by the way, my top three, I'm going to call it it's a trickle-up effect, since we're counting down and we're going towards number one. So every move is going to build upon itself here in terms of how we got here. So my third best move is hiring Matt Eberflus, Coach Flus. He is obviously, I already said it, he wasn't my top option when we were looking into candidates, but he sold me. I'm 100% bought into what he's selling, and I'm 100% in Coach's corner. He's going to be that CEO type of head coach. He's going to be able to focus on the whole team. I love he's giving autonomy to Luke Getsy and head coach Alan Williams to kind of own their own kind of pieces of the puzzle here, their own sides of the football. And he could have easily, you know, brought in Alan Williams, who he worked with in Indianapolis, and said, all right, you're my defensive coordinator, but I still run the defense. Sound familiar about the offense? Mm-hmm. Kind of. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do it. Like, he said, hey, you're here, but you know the scheme. We have identical philosophies, but feel free to put your own stamp on it. I think that amount of trust, I really respect that he can bring someone in and trust them to do that and have the humility to kind of let it go and own his new job of being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And he's going to be leveraging that defensive expertise to help both sides of the ball. You know, he's going to give some advice here and there for both Williams. And he's already mentioned, like, hey, I can help Justin too. We can sit in that room and I can say, here's how defense is attacking you. Here are the weaknesses. And here's the, you know, the why, I hate to say it, but the why behind what the defense is doing there as well. Mason, you hit so well on the culture that he's building. I don't need to rehash it all. And I think I talked about it yesterday too on the podcast, how big of a fan I am and how important I believe that's going to be towards the success. Like, he's going to be able to have guys playing at a high level. He's already has a proven track record of getting the most out of, you know, the non-elite players that he's had to work with throughout his entire coaching career. This is going to be a culture of accountability. He's not going to take any BS, and spearheading the culture shift is going to have a lot of what I'm going to call positive ramifications. And that's why Coach Eberflus, I think, was the one that Ryan Poles wanted to bring in. And I just am a big fan of this move. And the more time that passes, the more I like Coach Flus. And he's going to give this team tough love. And I think tough love is going to be needed. And he's going to be respected. He's going to command that respect. And that top to bottom leadership is going to pay off. I just have a gut feeling that it's going to, you're going to see a team that's not making those mental mistakes, not shooting themselves in the foot. How many times last year, guys, in our preview shows, like, all right, well, is it really the Bears versus the opponent, or is it the Bears versus the Bears? And it's always the Bears versus the Bears. And that should be a thing of the past here with Coach Eberflus at the wheel. So he's my third best move the Bears made this offseason, and I can keep gushing about him, but I don't think that's warranted here. So let's go over to Nick. What's your third best move?
Well, I'm going to save everybody some time. I also have Matt Eberflus as the third best move here. The only thing, and I don't even know if I'm really adding to this, just seeing what the practices have looked like in person, and whether it's voluntary minicamp, rookie minicamp, OTAs, there is a sense of pace. He is working these guys. Like you mentioned, like, how disciplined this team is going to be. I don't think you're going to see those personal foul penalties. I don't think you're going to see guys losing themselves within a game and playing with their emotions to where it's going to be detrimental to the overall team. I don't get a sense that that's going to happen under Matt Eberflus and his guidance now that he is the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So I'll keep it brief, but I have number three, the hiring of Matt Eberflus.
I saw Brendan in the chat. I love how similar the lists are. You know, it's interesting because we came up with a list of around 20 moves the Bears have made, and we made them independently and sent it to the producer ahead of time to keep it as organic as possible. And, you know, when Nick and I have been podcasting together for over 6 years, Mason for over a year, like, we all think similar, but I think we all bring something a little different to the table. But I appreciate that comment. And, Nick, you said it, like, the practices have been intense, and OTAs are typically a pretty light time, especially, I'd say, with new first-year head coaches that are just kind of installing and implementing what they want to do. They take it easy, but – and I'm not at practice like you. I'm not lucky enough to do that. Now, maybe one day I can get over there and do some of those, you know, awesome Bears beat reporting activities. But based off of what I see in the videos that the Bears make and, like, even the photos, like, a lot of guys standing there with their hands on the hips. And, like, they just look a little gassed. And to them to be worked so hard in May and getting that conditioning in now and expect the pace to get picked up another notch in training camp, again, like, I keep saying, like, positive ramifications. Like, this is going to make the Chicago Bears a better football team in 2022.
Yeah, completely agree there. Mason, what you got for number three?
Thanks, Nick. Like, you didn't think you thought I was going to forget about Mason again, didn't you? Damn.
Nick's got my back.
Yes, he does.
So for number three, this one's a little higher than you guys had it. I had the trading of Khalil Mack as my third biggest move of this offseason. Now, don't get me wrong. This was the right move. He really wasn't the same since that Dolphins game where he hurt his ankle and really the entire Bears just fell apart in that Miami Heat. But it's really two pronged. One's emotional. Let's be real. I mean, that first game coming out, doing what he did against the Packers, it set a tone that really helped the entire that 2018 season, and we were hoping for that to continue. Now, the other prong of that is it really did show where this team was and ultimately the direction they were going to go. They showed the pass is the pass. We are moving forward. That's a big move. And also, I think it takes some pretty big pants that Poles put on there to trade someone with the name that Khalil Mack has, but also to eat the salary, like you talked about, Will, that he had to eat, right? When you, it would be easy to say, well, man, if we trade him this year, we're going to have this dead cap, so maybe we should wait. And it's like, no, we got to get this done. We got to go now. We got to go and we can get some value because for all we know, it's going to be decreased. And yeah, it's going to be painful seeing him in a powder blue Chargers jersey opposite of Bosa. Yeah, it's going to suck. And I'm sure he's going to look great. It's just, he's Khalil Mack. But it was a necessary move. Again, tone-setting move. That's what a lot of these I've listed are. And it just shows we are moving forward, onward and upward. New era.
Yep, new era. And, you know, holding him because, A, the player he is, as well as, like, you know, he's a face of the franchise. But it could have been easy. It would have been so easy. No one would have thought twice if Khalil Mack was on the roster today. But it was a very, you know, big move of him, and I think it just helps bolster that level of respect and admiration for how he's approaching this rebuild. Speaking of which, number two on my list, hiring Ryan Poles. And again, a trickle up. So if you're wondering what's Will's number one, you may be able to figure this one out. But with Ryan Poles, you know, everything that we've mentioned so far in this list doesn't happen without Ryan Poles. The whole list would look completely different. He's been patient with this rebuild, but also I would call strategic. A good job of, as we mentioned, that large draft class, despite starting with only a handful of picks. So when he was hired, he has that Bears cap situation looking very healthy after this year. You know, cleaning the mess that he'd received. It's not an easy task. It doesn't happen overnight, but he's putting the Bears in a spot to have financial freedom to do what's needed after this year. I believe number three on my list of hiring Coach Eberflus was a very good decision. And even though, if I remember correctly, that committee who they were talking to had another leader of who they wanted the Bears to hire as head coach, but Ryan Poles said, no, Coach Flus is my guy. We're going with them. Trust me with this decision. And he did so. And on top of that, too, we've talked about previously in the show, like, how, I guess, burned we've been in the past with the previous regime and how we couldn't trust anything that they told the media, told the fan base. But that's totally different with Ryan Poles. He's stayed to his true to his word at every single turn. And for all those reasons, I think, you know, King Poles, right, Mason? Like, King Poles is here, and he's number two on my list. And he could be number one, but I think there's one more move that's most important that I'll get to in a minute. But, Nick, over to you. What's the second best move of the offseason?
Well, we've been doing this for quite a while now, you know, this podcasting stuff. And I also have number two as the Bears hiring Ryan Poles. Yeah, I know, shocking. But, he brings in Ian Cunningham, the assistant GM. As you said, obviously hires Matt Eberflus, makes all the trades on day three of the draft, traded Khalil Mack. He decided what was best for this team, not re-signing Bilal Nichols, James Daniels. So those kind of bigger decisions that you have to do as a general manager. But this is huge for the Bears moving forward. If he's the right guy for this team, he can turn it around. If he's not, it's going to be just like the last regime or the previous one. Or you can keep going back and back and back into the past of Bears management that just hasn't had success. So he is fundamental to what the Bears are hopefully going to do in this new era of football here and maybe make them more competitive. And he said it in his very first introductory press conference, we take back the North. So we're going to hold him to that. And now I don't know if that's necessarily what they're going to do in year one in the Eberflus and Poles era, but they're inching towards doing that. And it starts with Ryan Poles.
Yep. 100% agreed. I was going to just keep gushing about him, but I stopped myself because if I did, I would have forgot. Mason, number two.
Number two for me is going to be the firing of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Thought process being the rest of this doesn't happen if you don't do that, right? At least not in this way. I mean, you're not getting Lucas Getsy. You're not getting, obviously, hiring a Matt Eberflus. I would doubt you're drafting Kyler Gordon. You're not trading Khalil Mack, any of these things. And it just needed to happen. It was a band-aid that needed to get ripped off. When you're Matt Nagy and you have as many, two different six-game losing streaks in those two seasons, you can't have that. When you have Ryan Pace did some good things. Not everything was awful. I mean, people painted Ryan Pace as this villain sometimes, but he did some good stuff, found some good players. But, you know, just the way that the roster was managed, putting all the eggs in the Mitch basket, because that's what the Khalil Mack trade was to get him, right? Saying, hey, Mitch is going to be the guy and we're going to be able to move forward from here. Part of that obviously goes back to Matt Nagy as well. All his whole Mitch is conquered 101. We're moving on to 102. I mean, 202, apparently no one understands your 101. So that seems a little crazy. It needed to be done. It needed to be moved on. And none of the rest of this could happen without it.
Yep. That's a very, very good point there, Mason, and for that exact reason, if we want to just jump to my number one, because we're getting short on time anyway, it's exactly what you just said. It's firing Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, because if they ran it back again, guys, oh my God. Like, I don't even know where I would begin to describe my level of disdain for this franchise. Like, it would have been, I think, what do I put in my notes? I'm going to find it. It would have been an offseason from hell. And I think that's an accurate description of what would have happened if they decided, you know what, Matt and Ryan are our football guys in 2022. Not Poles and Eberflus, but Pace and Nagy. I would have been, there's no way that we would have been able to, I think, have the success on the show and do five shows a week if that would have been the case. It would have been just, what the hell are they doing every single day? And there's just no way. You know, I think Ryan Pace, you know, he made it, as you said, he mismanaged the roster. And I think you can't fix a problem. I think Albert Einstein said this. You can't solve a problem with the same mindset that created it or the same mind that created it. And I think that's the exact reason why, you know, Pace wasn't the guy to fix all these mistakes. A little bit too intimate with it. And honestly, I think he wanted to go down in some warmer weather in Georgia, bring all the Bears with him that are, you know, and honestly, that's fine. The Atlanta Bears. But no, Mason, you said it. If they did not fire Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, nothing else on this list would have ever been, well, here. It would have been a completely different offseason. And like I said, one from hell. So that's why it's my number, bona fide number one. No questions asked. Even though Nick had it 10, I get why you did it that way, Nick, because you wanted to look at some of the actual moves that has been made after the fact. But, you know, Mason and I think are along the same lines here. Like, without it, we're not here. So it has to rank up there in importance. But let's go over to you, man. What's number one?
Yeah, and I completely agree with what you guys are saying there. But I have the Bears constructing the five-person search committee. And hear me out, you guys. Had they not done this, it would have been George McCaskey and Ted Phillips again to try to find the future leaders of the Bears. You feel confident with having those two guys do it all over again? So no. Most of the consensus would be no. Now that's why you bring in a guy like Bill Polian, a Hall of Fame executive. And I know there's mixed feelings about that. But you also add Lamar Soup Campbell, the vice president of player personnel. Tanisha Way, the senior vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Getting these very important people that bring different perspectives to land on the one guy that they consensus was Ryan Poles. Once that would happen, it was Poles' move to make the head coach hiring. But they needed that guidance because, God forbid, it was George McCaskey and Ted Phillips doing this again. Who knows who they would have hired that would have then had to, one, inherit Justin Fields and all the potential he has, but maybe squander it away because they couldn't get the right coaching staff involved. So I have this being an important move in then hiring what was number two, number three in my list in Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus. But you need to get somebody else in that damn room other than George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. And that's why all the other minds there, they land on Poles. Poles hires Eberflus, and then the trickle-down effect. But that's what I have as my number one. Probably not the, I don't know, maybe not a move that most people are thinking about, but it makes sense into how the trickle-down effect happened for all the offseason moves that were made after that.
No, you make great points. If there wasn't a committee, if they kept it internal yet again, I think history speaks for itself in terms of what the results would have been. So I think that's a very good, sneaky, underrated one that I think you highlighting as the top thing, because just like my number one, like, it may, nothing else would have been here if that may not have happened. I mean, maybe they stumble across and they find Poles, but I just don't think it ends up being the case. Mason, we'll end with you here today. What's your best move of the offseason?
Absolutely. So my number one move of the offseason was the hiring of King Poles. So far, you know, you can say he hasn't done enough around Justin. I think that's not true. I think he's being smart. I think you've seen tactical decisions. You know, all the money the Bears are going to have next year is ridiculous. It's going to be great. You know, you're going to have, and the list of wide receivers available, some are not going to hit the market, but I mean, just off the top of my head, I know, you know, DK Metcalf falls into that category. There's like a bunch. So you have more to play with next year. You have more draft capital to play with next year. You're not winning the Super Bowl this year. You're not winning the division next year. And as Nick had said, you know, he said that they were going to take the North and never give it back. He didn't say he was going to take it this year. What he wants to make sure is that he's in the game so that they never give it back. And that's what the most important thing is. The smart, slow play that, because George McCaskey has said, you know, he wants to win now. He wants to win now. So you need someone in that room who's going to make accurate and good football decisions, an actual football guy, what we've all been clamoring for. Someone who played on the old line, has been in the locker rooms, know how these teams work, has been in a successful organization with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's huge. And then from a personal note for me, to have someone be the GM of a national football team organization who is an African-American, I think for me, that, and that's also just personal for me, that's huge. That's something that I've never been able to see. That's something that for my favorite sports team, that's something that's amazing that I think the Bears are continuing to do in terms of their diversity and equity aspect. And that's something that I think is good for players too. I mean, that's one that they could talk to and connect with. Let's be real. Most of the Chicago, not just Chicago, but most of the NFL is Black. Let's be real. So to have that kind of a connection, I think is also going to go a long way. And it's just, man, I couldn't tell you how excited I was when that hiring first happened. It was electric for me.
I appreciate that perspective too. Like, I know you've mentioned it, I think, when that hiring happened, like on the previous podcast, like we've talked about it, but it's something that, you know, I don't have that kind of perspective with. And I really appreciate you being able to share that because it is important. And I think it's another reason to, you know, be high on the hire for like internal reasons, as you said, about the ability to connect. I saw someone in the chat, said that we're just listing all the moves that Pulse did and they're not all good. I said we're listing the top 10 moves they made. Like, we can't. There's nothing else to rank. I don't know what the problem is there. All right, so that's going to do it, though. I enjoyed our top 10. You know, great minds think alike for the most part, besides a few variants between all of it. But that's kind of what I expected. I know both of you very well as myself, and we're usually along those same lines. But that's it for this week. Nick, next week there's some practices again, right?
Yes, Tuesday, OTA practice will be back there. We'll have the defensive staff talk to the media after practice. But The media will be back on Tuesday. Let's go.
Yeah, which puts me back on Thursday, Friday next week. So if you're, you know, tuning in Tuesday and you don't see Will and you're disappointed, you just got to wait two more days, and I will be there. But that was a great week of content. Mason, thank you for hopping on and keeping it a secret and surprising Nick. That made my day.
Yeah, to see Nick's reaction was awesome. And the build-up, that was pretty great on your end too, Will.
Thank you. I try my best, but that's going to do it. Thank you, Nunu, for the great podcast comment as well to wrap things up. That's going to do it here for this week on the CHGO Bears podcast. Nick and Adam will be back at you Monday morning at 11 a.m. But until then, Bear Down, Chicago.